Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we'll be talking to Gerald Celente. He's a publisher of the Trends Journal and the organizer of a new peace initiative called Occupy Peace. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with Gerald Celente. Gerald Celente, welcome to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Oh, thanks for having me, Cindy.
Well, thank you for being here. You're the publisher of the Trends Journal and... How did that, maybe that's the wrong question. How did you come up with this initiative of Occupy Peace?
Well, you know, it's just something that evolved, actually. And I'm a close combat martial artist. I'm not a pacifist.
Right.
In the sense that, you know, oh, peace and love. It just evolved, and as a trend forecaster, it has evolved in a very different way for me, in the sense that what we're looking at is a replay of World War II. You had a crash of 1929.
Right.
Then you had currency wars, trade wars, world wars. Of course, first the Depression. Then you have the panic of 08, the Great Recession, currency wars, trade wars, and world wars. I see a world war looming. And all you have to do is look around the world. All of these refugees fleeing out of Afghanistan, Yemen, Iraq, Syria,
right,
Libya. How much more proof do people need? And then you go around, and you, as a trend forecaster, we look at things multidimensionally, and all things are connected. So we're looking at a global economic slowdown. You look at commodity prices, for example. People say, oh, why are oil prices so low? Well, because there's too much supply and not enough demand. The same reason coal prices are down, and iron ore, and copper, and aluminum, and dairy products. There's too much supply, not enough demand. There's a global slowdown, going back to war. It's not only from the war-torn nations that you have refugees. They're flooding out of Niger, Nigeria, Algeria, Ghana. All of these resource-rich nations that are run by dictatorships, people barely holding on, now they can't hold on to anything. And then all you have to do is go south of the border. Start with Chile, copper. Brazil, all their iron ore and other natural resources. Look at the currencies. The Mexican peso now is at an all-time low, as well as the Brazilian real, close to hitting one, against the dollar. So when you keep adding everything up, geopolitical, economic, social, we're on the path to a world war. And that's why we're launching Occupy Peace.
Well, I see the major obstacle to peace is the U.S. empire. And, of course, empire just isn't military. It is economic. And many people think that you said the resources, these resource-rich countries where the people who live in the countries aren't benefiting from the resources, but these multinational corporations are literally raping the countries and starving the people out. So what do you think about the U.S. military empire being like the major obstacle to peace in the world?
Well, it was Eisenhower's farewell address. when he warned the nation that the military-industrial complex was robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. And here we are, all those years later, from 1960 to 2016. Everything he said has come true. And that's not the way this country was founded. You know, this, the military was never supposed to be a major role in this nation. And now it has become. And by the way, I'm offended when I keep hearing these presidents and politicians with this God bless America, God bless our troops.
Right.
What God blesses that? God doesn't bless war. You know, and I've had it with this. I'm fed up with it. And not only am I fed up with it personally, because I don't tell anybody how to believe, what to believe and how to believe, I resent people telling me. But the bigger point is, again, going back to this as a trend forecaster, the trend is to war. Look what happened after 9/11. We lost so many of our constitutional rights. And imagine if there is another strike. Again, let's call it, for argument's sake, we'll call it, we won't call it a conspiracy theory. We'll just take the news as it's presented.
All right.
And if something like that happens again, welcome martial law. Welcome a loss of more rights than we've already lost tenfold. Look for more foreign interventions. The people will be tying yellow ribbons around everything that don't, that doesn't move, and waving American flags.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to prevent. And it's, to me, and we're putting our money where our heart is. I mean, yeah, they, you know, people could give us donations at OccupyPeace.us, but, you know, myself and others here, Derek Osinenko, our CEO, and we put up our own money to run this, and we're putting up a lot of money to make this happen. And you know, the peace isn't very popular these days.
Tell me about it.
And if we don't have peace, we're going to have war. And what people don't understand is that with peace comes more prosperity.
Right.
And that's why this Occupy Peace movement, this is an action plan for peace. It's to bring home the troops, seal the borders, have them rebuild America, rather than us riding around in our rotted infrastructure, instead of building highways for the military-industrial complex overseas in Afghanistan and other nations we conquer and destroy, and also to force Congress to vote for war, which they have not done since World War II, and have ballots on each state where we the people will tell Congress how to vote. Because as, you know, unfortunately you well know, that we the people pay for the war with our money and our lives. And this is just sickness at this point, and I want to do our best to try to stop it.
I have a couple of points of clarification on the on your demands or your goals or whatever. So to have Congress, like, vote for war, we both know that Congress is bought and paid for by the military-industrial complex and, you know, other entities that profit from war. But then you say, let's have the people vote for war. But like you said, after 9/11, or if there's another attack, I'm using air quotes here, on American soil, people be wrapping everything in yellow ribbons. So the people can be very easily manipulated, as they were after 9/11. I was in the very small, tiny, minuscule minority of people who did not support going into Afghanistan after 9/11. And I certainly didn't support going into Iraq later. So what, I mean, how's that going to stop war? What systemic changes will need to be, will need to occur? Because look at the media. The media is just, what do they call it? The entertainment, no, politics is an entertainment division of the Pentagon, but the media is just a propaganda arm of the Pentagon.
You mean the prostitutes?
Yeah. So we will need some changes.
All right, so here's you're correct. And by the way, you know, there was a TV series called Everyone Loves Raymond.
Right.
And the woman Doris Roberts plays my aunt in a movie that's being shown now in film festivals based on one of my books called What Zizi, Z-I-Z-I, Gave Honey Boy. The name of the movie is Zizi and Honey Boy. And Zizi is the Neapolitan dialect for auntie. The movie opens up, and I'm on the phone with my agent, and I just got my third cancellation because I had talked about the prelude to the Afghan War. USA Today used to run my top trends, and in 2000, December, 9 months before 9/11, the headline read, 2001 won't be our year, Trendsier says. And I warned that a wave of anti-Americanism was sweeping the globe and Americans wouldn't be safe at home or abroad. So when 9/11 happened, everybody's calling me up.
Right.
I'm saying it's foreign policy. And you got little clowns like Rudolph Giuliani shooting their mouth off, saying, no, they did it because they hate our freedom and liberty and nothing to do with foreign policy. I got blackballed from the media. So I understand what you're saying. But let's take it to the other, rather than if a terrorist strike, and I agree with you, the people will vote for it, but at least they'll be responsible for it. But let's take what's going on now.
Right.
Gaddafi has to go. You won't have votes.
Putin has to go.
Can you imagine anybody think they're going to beat the Russians?
Right. And China. Together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. They can't win in Afghanistan. And I forgot, they won in Grenada. I left that one out.
Okay.
But so what happens is you don't have these other foreign entanglements, and it starts winding things back. So we would not be in right now bombing back in Iraq and in Syria. We wouldn't have destroyed Libya and created the destabilization there. It would be about a different foreign policy where our money won't be going to other countries as ours is rotting in front of our eyes. And to bring home the troops and close the bases and rebuild the nation, that's really just reliving what the founding fathers had taught us. No foreign entanglements. Beginning with George Washington's farewell address. And this is a man that led the troops, not these little boys that shoot pool and drive pickup trucks and play basketball. You know, this is a guy that knew the ugliness of war, as did Eisenhower. You know, men that have fought in it don't want it. And so it's a step, there is no perfect solution. But this is, as in life, you know, there's nothing that works perfectly. But this is a step in the right direction, as we see it.
Let's talk about Occupy peace. Let's talk about the term Occupy and Occupy Wall Street. One thing, I went to many Occupy encampments or movements around the country. I never got to Wall Street the first year when they were, you know, so... In the news, and there were so many people there. But the one thing that the Occupy movement would not talk about, and I was really urging them to take this on, was that how can we have all of these reforms that they were talking about if we're spending literally trillions of dollars on the military, on empire, on maintaining this at 1,000 bases around the world? And so that's one aspect of the question, is how much does the Occupy Wall Street movement influence Occupy peace? And then another one is seal the borders. I have a question about that, and I think it kind of goes with this. And you do talk about peace and prosperity at home if we end this military empire around the world and end all the wars. But seal the borders, we have two borders. We have oceans, but we have land borders with Mexico and land borders with Canada. When we talk about sealing the borders, are you also talking about sealing the Canadian borders, which I think Canadians should be more wary of Americans going there than we should be wary of Canadians coming here. But Mexico, a lot of the influx of the people we have coming from Mexico are based on economics and on free, so-called free trade agreements that have been literally, and drug wars, and we know who's responsible for drug wars, the CIA. So talk about the influence of this trillions of dollars we spend on the military, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and your seal the borders, which I have a little bit of a problem with.
Okay. Let's start with, let me rephrase that. Let's say secure the homeland. And one of the greatest trends that we're looking at is going to be a refugee / migrant trend. Just to put this into perspective, it took 100,000 years to put 1.5 billion people on the planet. 100,000 years to 1900. So just think about it. All those years to put 1.6 billion people on the planet. In 100 years, we've added 5.5 billion people. In 100 years. Migration refugee floods are going to be huge. When you go back to the Great Depression, one of the things, and my relatives from Italy couldn't come here, even up to, after World War II. They weren't taking in any more either refugees or migrants until we stabilized the economy. So that's why I'm talking about that. Because as a trend forecaster, I can tell you that you're going to start seeing people flooding in from countries all over the world, and it's not going to be manageable. Because when you go back to our economy and you look how there's really been no recovery since the panic of 08, you have median household income is down some $6,500 since 2007. So that's why I'm saying that. And also, that there's the other side to give that notion to. Because they'll say to you, as I hear it all the time, well, if you're going to bring home all the troops and close the borders, if we don't attack them over there, they're going to attack us over here. So I say, okay, let's protect the homeland. On the issue of Occupy, we have nothing to do with Occupy Wall Street. We're using the word Occupy because it was just a word we came up with because it fits with peace, the Occupy peace. And by the way, I did go to Occupy Wall Street. And one of the failings of it, as you pointed out, there was no agenda. We have a solid agenda. Is it going to fit everybody's needs? Nothing ever does. But this is the first peace movement that I know of in my life, and I've been around since the Vietnam days, and I was not a peace nick back then. The only reason I didn't go to Vietnam is it wasn't that I was smart enough to be against the war or know that it was just another lie. You know, I was a kid, you know, I was 19 years old, and, you know, in 1965. And I just couldn't imagine me in a foreign country. Now, I'm looking at these photos, these pictures of guys walking in water up to their neck, holding a gun over their head and getting shot at.
Right.
I mean, that's the only reason I didn't go. But what I'm saying is I've been around a long time, and I've seen the peace movements. And they get these rallies, and everybody's really hopped up, and they scream and yell and ohm and pray, and nothing happens afterwards. So what we're saying is we're putting a program together. Is it the ideal program? We believe it has a good foundation. And the first part of the foundation, the two pieces of it, as you mentioned, over 1,000 bases and what? Over 150 countries. Bring home the troops. No foreign entanglements. Force Congress to vote, which they have not done. And the reason they have not done it is because they don't want to be held responsible for it. And I agree with you 100%. We don't have a Congress that represents us. Anybody that calls themselves Republicans or Democrats, I say you're accomplice to murderers and thieves.
Absolutely.
How much more money do they have to steal of ours in the name of too big to fails and tax deals and benefits and bribes? And how many more people do they have to kill around the world before you call them murder?
Put it together. It was a series of my articles I've written since Obama's been president. It's called The Obama Files, Chronicles of an Award-Winning War Criminal. And the award, of course, is a Nobel Peace Prize. But the thing you said earlier, that peace isn't popular anymore. I think one of the problems with the so-called peace movement is that it isn't really a peace movement. It's an anti-Republican war movement. And so it's been a struggle to have any kind of energy towards ending the wars, because now we have this Nobel Peace Prize Democrat in the White House. And I think if we're ever going to be successful with this Occupy Peace or whatever we do to end the empire, bring the troops home. I like your idea of it's almost full employment here if we put people to work, you know, rebuilding the country here, meaningful jobs at living wages. You know, that's just all wonderful, but we're never going to accomplish that if people keep on, like you say, supporting these mass murderers in the Democrat and or Republican parties.
Oh, I agree with you. And you know, I have a line. Conservatives believe and liberals lie. And I'll explain that. I'm talking about, you know, these conservatives that say things like, you know, we got to kill them over there before they come over here. Yeah, I know. And if we don't stop those commies in Vietnam, before you know it, those dominoes are going to keep falling, and they'll be falling on the shores of California. But they actually believe that stupidity. They actually believe that murdering more is very good policy. They believe it with their hearts. Democrats, liberals, however, they're liars. They don't have the courage. They've been conned by the conmander. They'll support Hillary Clinton. They'll support Bill Clinton. They'll support their mass murderers. And they'll always end it with the stupid little line, oh, he's better than Bush.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he's just killing them differently. You like those drone strikes, don't you? Oh, you know, his hands are tied. So that's what I'm saying. I call them liars, that conservatives believe and liberals lie, because liberals don't have the courage. They're gutless little people that will not admit they've been conned, that they've been had. It's just like they're all now waving the flag for Bernie the Slaughterer Sanders.
I'm so glad
that
you said
that. Little guy shooting his mouth off. I voted against the Iraq War. He voted to fund everything beginning with Bush's Afghan War. He's voted to fund everything. He supported the overthrow of Gaddafi. He supported Libya, and he supports the apartheid in Israel. He shuts shut up and sit down, he tells people when they question him about his Israeli policy. So an Occupy Peace is enough. I've had enough. I don't want my money going anywhere. Certainly, if it was going to go anywhere, I'd want it to go to Italy. And I don't want it going there. I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. That's what Occupy Peace is. Are we going to have all the elements that fit everybody's needs and desires? No. But we have a program that I would say, I believe, is the soundest program on a path for peace that I have seen in my lifetime.
Well, I'm certainly excited. I don't know if I mentioned this on air, but I will be one of the speakers at the rally on Sunday.
Yes, yes.
Kind of like the kickoff rally for Occupy Peace, but I'm also don't want it to stop there. Like you said, we have all these rallies and then nothing happens, and I've still been all these years, I've been in the trenches.
I know you have.
It's even harder with a Democrat in office than it is with a Republican in office. But so I'm excited of working together to go forward with this endeavor. And I watched we're running out of time, unfortunately. And you have like really addressed beautifully, just a couple of little, you know, little glitches I had in the wording of things. But I was watching a video on OccupyPeace.us, and you said one thing that sealed my devotion to this cause. You said, "We have to fight for peace or die in war." And when you said that you're not a pacifist, I'm not a pacifist either. But I think the violence comes from the counter-revolution. It comes from the people who are resisting change. You know, in Vietnam, they said fighting for peace is like for virginity. Can you address that? I totally agree with you that, you know, this is the fight of our lifetime, and I have 5 grandkids now, and I'm not going to let their world go up in flames.
Well, look, if Jesus Christ could pick up a whip to drive the money changers out of the temple, it's okay for us to raise our voices and stand tall and proud and maintain our courage, dignity, and self-respect, and again, to fight when anybody tries to attack us. So to me, as a close combat guy, the first thing you learn is to attack the attacker. And that's all this is. They are attacking us, and now it's time to attack back. And again, in a peaceful way, nonviolent. And that's very important. And the other thing that, as I don't know if you know this yet, but you will by the time you get here, Ralph Nader will also be one of the speakers.
Oh, yay. I haven't seen Ralph for years. That'll be great.
So we're very excited
about having... I'm glad I'm going.
Yeah, so we're very excited about having you and Ralph Nader here and Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, who's a Buddhist, very well-renowned, and Gary Null, who really preaches peace and is a great expert in health and fitness and... So it's going to be a wonderful rally. And again, it's just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This is the kickoff. And to have you here helping to kick it off is a real honor.
And I was telling your assistant, Taryn Clark, is that her name?
Yes.
I was telling her that my sister has stage 4 breast cancer. And an associate of mine got a hold of associate of Dr. Null's, and we couldn't connect. So I'm excited about connecting with him, too, because we're fighting my sister's diagnosis. We're battling it. We're not going to let this disease defeat her and defeat us. So I'm excited about connecting with Dr. Null, too.
Oh, he's great. He's a great guy. I've known him for a number of years. And I also, by the way, I have an honorary doctorate in integrative and complementary medicine from the National University of Health Sciences for the work I've done over the decades in promoting and writing about alternative healing.
Right. So, she sees an integrative doctor once a week as well as a I call it the cancer industrial complex. It's just really overwhelming. But we have so much. We have so many allies that I think we're gonna beat this.
Oh, it's great. You'll be meeting him. He is truly a walking book of knowledge, and I'm sure he'll be able to be of some help.
So, Gerald Celente of OccupyPeace.us, and we will, hope that it's a great success and work together to collapse this U.S. military empire. That's my goal every day. What can I do today to help collapse the empire?
That's a great goal.
Sometimes it's just, you know, giving my sister her Rick Simpson oil, but, you know, other days we do more. So is there anything you want to add before the interview's over?
I think we really covered everything really well, and that people should also remember, you know, that wonderful quote from Samuel Adams, to paraphrase it, He said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men, and of course women. And that's all it's about. Because as you've been around a while and you've been an activist, and I began my career in politics. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate as a young guy. So I know what it looks like from the inside. It's the Wizard of Oz. There's nobody really behind there. And if people knew the power that they had, you know, we can really change the course of things, because the opportunity, as I see it, has never been better than it is now. The vacuum is so large, it could be filled with anything. From a Donald Trump, and you can see what he's running all over these little boys.
Right. Yeah.
And because he's a ruthless character that knows who he's fighting against. And if the people only knew the power that they have, we can easily trump a Trump and change the direction of this country.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much again for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. And I look forward to meeting you and all of the you know, all of the rabble rousers this weekend, and I'm looking forward to going forward.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for coming here. I really, really appreciate it.
Great. Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox for today. As always, I hope you were informed and inspired. And as always, I'd like to thank Gerald Celente for organizing Occupy Peace and inviting me to be one of the speakers. And this show will come out on that day, so I'll post more information about it next week. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Peace out for now.